Our epistle for this first Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 33. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things that are coming in the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things come to pass, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we are continuing our meditation of last week. Last week we talked about, or we were meditating on, the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. A reality, a spiritual reality, physical reality that we have to face. This week we continue that, but we take it to the next step and we realize not just that coming of Christ, where he will come to judge the living and the dead. But we prepare for the birthday of Christ, where he came, uniting his divinity with our humanity in order to redeem us. But focused on this moment right here, the Advent, the personal Advent that each and every one of us has of Christ coming to us, or we accepting Christ. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, that great doctor of the church, specifies these three different ways that Christ comes. First, in flesh and in weakness. Second, in spirit and in power. And third, in glory and in majesty. In glory and in majesty, we talked about that last week and we hinted to it this week at the gospel. But now our focus, as we prepare for the birth of Christ, is on the second one, in spirit and in power. He doesn't come as in power so as to scare or burden us. No, he comes to empower us, to ennoble us, to sanctify us by his power and his goodness. We call this grace. Because of the price that he paid, we have the opportunity that we have today. Today, that opportunity to become a saint. But that reality is up to us. Far too often, we get so caught up in what other people think, or our own ideas of how things should be. And we forget to sit back and study it a little bit more and know, listen, I don't make the rules. God does. I don't make the way. I don't make up the truth. He does. But whether or not he has way into our hearts, he leaves that up to us. That's why the theme of Advent is make straight the way of the Lord. So we're called to start to contemplate our relationship with God, who he is to us, and to realize who we are to him. Contemplate for a moment the price that he paid, the journey that he took, and the things that he did for you and for me. Not did, does. If we really believe what we say we believe. Today, in a few moments, Christ comes down on our altar. Why? Why? Because we deserve it? We deserve him? No. Christ comes down on our altar because he loves us. And he gives us an opportunity. The unselfish soul can make good use of this opportunity. The unselfish soul is one that quits looking to themselves and say, I think, I feel, I want, and looks to him and acknowledges him as the good that he is and invests in that relationship which he offers to have with us. But that takes an effort. Holy Mother of the Church presents to us penitential seasons for this purpose. What's a penitential season? Well, that's where we work on denying ourselves. Now, denying ourselves for the sake of denying ourselves is kind of foolish. Now, if we have a purpose, we have a greater promise of success. There are people, they give themselves a purpose to deny themselves in order to get physically fit, to get strong, to be a better athlete, some to get better health. But Holy Mother of the Church wants us to deny ourselves so we can become spiritually fit. Denying ourselves is the first rudiment to be a true disciple of Christ, right? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Christ. But that's a choice. The two penitential seasons, Advent and Lent, are there for us to do that, but they have a different purpose. Lent is a time of reparation. We remember the price that Christ paid on the cross for our sins. And like St. Paul says in his epistle, I make up for what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ by denying myself, by giving up those things. We do bigger penances. The church imposes on us bigger penances of fasting throughout all of Lent. But Advent's different. Advent is a penitential season, not of reparation, but of preparation. Just like when somebody prepares a place to be their domicile, as they go there and do work, sometimes there's things that they have to tear down and other things they have to build up and they have to put in the effort, but once it's all said and done, it's a nice place. We prepare the way of the Lord into our heart. We prepare to begin again and to perfect our relationship with Christ. Christ is just not a notion that we read about on Sunday or from time to time. No, Christ must be one with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't force his way into any man's heart. But there is only one way for him to become one with us and to be in our heart. And that's for us to make room for him. His way. He has showed us what we must do. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my Father will love you. And we will come to you and make our abode in you. That's what grace is. That's the science of the saints. That's what we have the opportunity of having today. But it's time for us to rise from sleep. Quit being distracted by the world. There's a lot of craziness out there. And we can make that an excuse for not doing what we need to do where it concerns our relationship with Christ, but that's another whole level of foolishness. Who cares what other people think? How many of them are going to be there at your when you go stand before the good Lord and he's going to say, What did you do with the gifts I gave you? Well, Lord, you have to understand, because so-and-so thought, and so-and-so thought, and so-and-so thought. He goes, oh, I understand. No, he's going to say, depart from me. You didn't make good use of the gifts given to you. But if we wake up now and we make good use of those gifts, then when we stand before him, he's going to say, okay, here's the gifts I've given to you. What do you have to say for yourself? Well, Lord, here's what you gave me. Here's what I did with them. I tried my best. I tried my best. And he's going to say, well done. Well done. Enter. You know, as we prepare for Christmas, there's a lot of gift giving that happens. And that's nice. It's good. If it's done for the right reason, it's really good. And that real reason is for us to reflect on what God gave man. That's what makes every Christmas gift meaningful. God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son. But there's another whole aspect that we need to consider, and that's the whole aspect of charity, the giving to our neighbor in their need. Remember when Christ was talking about judgment? He was talking about, says, and you'll be brought before, and he's going to say, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was without shelter, you sheltered me. Lord, when did we do these things? He goes, because what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. And of course, on the other end, you have the opposite. Depart from me, you cursed. Because when I was hungry, you did not give me to eat. Or thirsty, you did not give me to drink. Or naked, you did not clothe me, etc. Lord, when did we see thee this way? What you do to others, you do to me. What you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. Now, in that concept, that's where charity is. And that's our vocation. Not just to have Christ, but to share Christ. But you can't share Christ unless you have Christ. And to share him, not just with your friends and your family and those people you get along with, but the least of your brethren. I've thought about this a bit. Is it the least of the brethren of Christ? No, it's the least of your brethren. The ones that on the low are at the last place of your list, if you will. You want to prepare for Christmas? Every day, look for an opportunity to do a true act of charity, not for the accolades of your fellow men, but for the love of God, purely. Also, for the love of God, do some things during Advent. Deny yourself. Turn off the electronics. Turn off the social media. Open up a spiritual reading book. Read the lives of the saints. Or read the gospel and the life of Christ. Do your spiritual exercises, pray your rosary, as a family, and don't just go through it in some type of Olympic event, see if you can make record time and get it over with. Meditate on the mysteries. Don't say your rosary, pray your rosary. A weapon given to us by our Blessed Mother. What better way for us to prepare for the feast of Christ than with his mother, who he gave us to be our mother, and good Saint Joseph. He's always forgotten. You want to know some other sacrifices you can make? We make sacrifices for a lot of different things which don't even come close to the sacrifice we could make or should make for our concerns, our relationship with Christ. We will spend extra money to go on cruises and to go on vacations, expenditures. Unbelievable. You'll set us a time aside, you will travel distances. You will sacrifice sleep and the comfort of your own home in order to have this adventure or have that amusement. You will schedule away in the calendar. But how many of us do that for Christ? A holy hour in church? Oh, no, I just don't have time. Really? it's too much of an effort. I have to go and see if the church is unlocked, and I have to ask the nuns and her father and blah, blah. Really? Too much of a sacrifice? How does that compare? Those are the type of penances we need to do during Advent. We pursue Christ and open ourselves up to His grace because we recognize and appreciate the love that He has for us and the opportunity that He has given to us. Emmanuel, God with us, He's with us. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, I will refresh you. My dear friends in Christ, I want you all to have the best Christmas ever. But that will only happen if you as individuals take that opportunity. And as a family, you focus on that opportunity. Pray your Advent prayers. Do some spiritual exercises as a family, as well as individually. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now is the time for us to rise from sleep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.